Well, good morning. We're going to try it again. Good morning. I knew you were out there. It is good to be together again. This is the first Sunday of 2022. I've titled my message this morning, Success in 2022. I'd like to ask you this morning, I got five questions, and with these questions I have a shorter question behind them. And we're going to spend some time talking for a bit this morning, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. So don't hold off thinking he's not going to the scriptures this morning. So, first question I'd like to ask you this morning, was 2021 a successful year? And if it was, you don't have to answer these questions here this morning, just answer them to yourself. If it was a successful year, what made it successful? Think about that. Second question, did you see any miracles, or I'm going to ask, any answered prayers this year? And I add to that, were you watching? Were you paying attention? When you prayed, did you expect? Third question, ties right in. Actually, we're going to pass the third question, two and three. No, I'm going to ask that question. Did you have any prayers answered this year? That was the question. The other question I added to that, did you pray? Did you pray? Number four, did you share Jesus with someone this past year? And the next comment I have is not a question. It's a statement. And the statement is you had opportunity. Did you share Jesus this year? You had opportunity. Question number five. Are you closer to God than you were in 2020? The other question I have tied with that is, or further away? That depended on you. That did not depend on God. That depended on you. Now, don't ask these questions this morning to belittle us. I don't ask these questions to try to make us feel like, wow, I didn't do as I should have. But I'm asking these questions this morning because I want us to think about what real success is in our Christian walk. What is real success in our Christian walk? Now, I shared a message this year, and I don't know how many of you remember this, but I shared a message on success this past year. And we're not going back to that message. But I don't want you to think, oh, Lynn's going to share another message on success because he didn't do so well with the first one. Lee remembers because he came and talked to me about success after the message. Thank you, Lee. So my goal this morning is to offer each one of us here this morning encouragement. We are in a new year. We have a brand new slate in front of us. It's clean. What goes on that slate this year is going to depend on me. It's going to depend on you. We can't point at anybody else and blame anybody else. It's going to depend on us. We look back at 2021 and some of us have warm feelings that go through us. This is why. Maybe it was a year that I spent more time with family. And if it was, we love that. It's something we really, really enjoy. Maybe it was a relationship I had with somebody that I didn't have before. Maybe there was a broken friendship and that's been restored this year. Maybe there's been an addition to our family, grandkids, or children in our family. Maybe it was a marriage that was saved from breaking apart. Maybe it was a health issue that turned out well. Those give us good feelings, don't they? But maybe there's some things that weren't so good this year. Let's face reality. Maybe there's some things that weren't so good this year. There was a relationship that was broken. And through those we cry. Maybe the health that I had is fading away. There's some situations that came up in our congregation this year. Maybe I have a family member that's turned their back on the Lord and chose to walk away. Maybe I lost a loved one. They're not here this morning on these front benches. We had quite a few here that left this past couple of years. Maybe my marriage is getting weaker instead of stronger. Maybe I had a financial loss. Maybe I lost my job. Ties in with the financial loss. Maybe the financial loss ties in with I made some decisions that weren't so good. Things that did not go well this year, and you can name your own. So we think of goals. The fact is, if I don't set any goals, I'm not going to reach where we want to head for. We traveled. I want to grab something over here. Friday, a week ago, we got into our van on a Friday morning, and we traveled to Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. We put on approximately 4,300 miles in 7 days. That's a lot of driving. It's a long ways. Before we left for Arizona, there's something that each one of us in our household did. Each one of us have a suitcase. This is mine. And yeah, it has Michigan colors, but I didn't choose that. Each one of us have a suitcase. Before we went on that trip, we counted the days. We counted how many pairs of pants that we need. We counted how many skirts we need. Pairs of socks. And we knew there was going to be one day where there was going to be laundry done, so we figured that in. So each one of us made preparation. And when I closed my suitcase to leave that Friday morning, I was hoping that everything is in there that I need for that amount of time. Sorry, you couldn't see the suitcase over here. I was hoping that everything was in that suitcase. Because I'm going to go on a long drive, and I cannot come home and go to the dresser, the bureau. I can't go into the bathroom to get my toothbrush. I wanted it in there. So I planned ahead. So we're planning ahead for year 2022. Here's some things that we need to think about as we go into 2022. How about we plan to spend some more time in the Word? I can't blame my wife, my kids. Any of you here this morning, if I don't get into the Word this year, that's on me. What I make time for, what I value, rather, is what I'm going to make time for. Spend more time in the Word. How about praying more? How about giving a listening ear more? Loving more. I kind of like to pass this next one, but it's in here. I'm going to read it. Control my diet better. How about seeing the good things in others? Reaching out to the hurting. Putting others first. I love the next one. Drink more coffee. How about spending more time building relationships with my family, with those in the church congregation, those in the community, my neighbors? Loving my wife more. We're going through a marriage class right now. And one of the strong points in there is, husbands, love your wives. That's what the Bible says. Love my wife more. Loving my husband or respecting my husband more. That's what the Bible says there is to respect. How about growing in grace? How about reading more? And I'm not talking about the Word. I'm talking about other materials that help us to grow. Reading more. How about learning something new every day? Keeping our mind sharp. Increasing our knowledge. Those are good things to do. I like the next one too. How about sitting on my porch more? I love to sit on my porch when I come home from work and see the neighborhood and talk to the people that are willing to stop in from time to time. Kenneth Cooper is a doctor in Dallas. Kenneth is 90 years old. Kenneth has 10 things. He's still practicing at 90 years old. He has 10 things that he said are good things to do in your life to keep yourself healthy and active. And I'm going to read these 10 things. The first one, he said, I begin every day with daily prayer and Bible study. The second one, he said, I watch my weight. The third one, I have a lot of physical activity. He says you need at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day. He said, I eat healthy. I don't use tobacco in any form. I don't drink alcohol, but he said, if you do, limit it. He said, protect your skin. Number 7 was that supplement your life with vitamins. Sleep 7 to 9 hours nightly. Socialize and engage your brain daily. And then number 10 was know your numbers. Know your blood pressure. Know your height, your weight. So you know whether you should eat less or exercise more. Goals. We have a lot of goals, don't we? Or we should have. To keep ourselves close to the Lord and to keep ourselves healthy. A lot of stuff that I need to be working on. I'd like for you to turn this morning to Acts chapter 1. So where we're at today, we have up here success in 2022. We have 2022-2023. The little dash is what we're filling in this morning. What we're thinking about filling in. That's what we're going to fill in this year. At the end of this year, there's going to be different numbers and that dash starts again. So what we want to think about this morning is this dash here. What am I going to do with that dash? Vonda, you might have to help me here, but she had a saying for me. Don't live life. I ain't got it right, Vonda. Tell me the 75 years. Don't live the same 75 years in a row and call it a life. We need to grow. We need to change. Acts 1, Luke is the author here. And here we have him talking to Theophilus, and we're not exactly sure who Theophilus was here. But he began to tell him about Jesus, and Jesus being here with his disciples. And there's something I want us to pick out of Luke 1 and Luke 2 this morning that will give us energy, that will give us realization that we have so much given to us and we are responsible. And if we take this, that dash up here can be filled with positive things. Beginning to read in verse 4 of Luke chapter, Acts 1. Beginning in verse 4 of Acts 1, and being assembled together with them, Jesus, with the disciples, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's telling them, I'm going to leave. Different scriptures we look at, he says, I'm going to leave, I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter was the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going to send that Comforter, but go to Jerusalem. Tell the disciples, go to Jerusalem and hang out there. Don't go anywhere until the Comforter comes. And when he comes, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost when he's here. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were looking for a literal kingdom here on this earth. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. The word power he's using here in verse 7 is in his own authority. The authority that Jesus, that God has, the Father has. Jesus didn't even know when all these things were taking place, but God knows. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. There's another word, power. We'll come to back to that in a bit. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth. So what was he telling them here? He was telling them that I'm going to give you a power. What is the power that he's talking about here? We use the word dynamite for this power. That's the way it's explained. That's what it means. It also means the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he said, I'm going to give to you. And this word power also, as we go through the scriptures and we look how it's used in other scriptures, the same word has the idea of mighty works that they were to do because they had received power, stuff they couldn't do on their own. But spiritual things that were happening in their lives so Jesus could be seen. Why the power for us? There's something that stands out here in the second phrase of this verse, the third phrase. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be, what's that word? Witnesses. You are to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. What is that witness? A witness is being an ambassador. We are an ambassador of Christ. But there's something else that ties in with that word witness that I'm not so sure I like. That word also means that we're going to receive power to be martyrs. That word witness ties in with martyrdom. I don't like that. But do you know that we will receive power? We come to that place in our country and we're seeing a lot of things happening today. If we come to that place, he has told us you will have power. So he tells the disciples here, I want you to be witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. That's at home. And if you look at the book of Acts here, chapter 8 through 12, I'm sorry, chapters 1 through 7, he talks about Jerusalem. Now, we're not going to go there this morning, but if you want to do some research at home, he talks about Jerusalem, being a witness in Jerusalem. He says, in all Judea and in Samaria. Go to chapter 8 through 12. He talks about Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Chapters 13 through 28. He talks about going out. What about you and I? Sometimes we get the idea that our missionaries are only those that we're going to send across the seas. No, our missionaries need to be here too. We need to be right here and share Jesus' love with those that we meet. This is what he has given us. Let's continue. Let's just begin reading again in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, and this is hope for us. Listen to this next phrase. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. That is a sure thing. He's coming back. So then the next couple of verses, they went to Jerusalem and they waited and they weren't sitting there doing nothing. But look at verse 14. It says, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They weren't idle. They were busy. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. The next section here, they talk about the replacement of Judas. We're going to skip through that. We're going to go to chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all together here in Jerusalem. The one accord has the idea that they had one purpose. They had one mind. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. How I would have loved to be in that group. Can you imagine the expectancy? He said he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's left. He's gone. Something is going to happen. Verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go back to verse 3. Let's look at this word cloven, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. We've all seen the pictures, I'm sure, of a little flame sitting on top of their heads, what somebody thought it might look like, and we're not saying it wasn't that way. But the cloven tongues that he's talking about here, the word cloven has the idea of divided or distribute it to each. That gives me a picture as the Holy Spirit came on them. And for us today, all of us have the opportunity to receive the Spirit. It was divided. There was distribution to each one. So that is for us today. That means each one of us has it personally. And we all have it together as a body of Jesus. Body of believers. It sat upon each one of them. Then verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled. I'm going to read down through here. He talks a little bit here about what the tongues were, but I want you to watch for the word all as I read through here. I want you to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit came to them. He comes to us today, and it is for all. There is nobody pushed out. The new birth is for every one of us. It is not for a select few. It is not for a denomination. The new birth is for every one on this earth. Verse 5, and there dwelled at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, when they heard the noise, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, and these were the different people that dwelt there at this time. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome. These would have been the only strangers, the only foreigners that were visiting at the time, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. We could go into this tongues, the explanation of tongues. We're going to bypass that this morning. It's not our subject. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? So they had questions. What's happening here? It looks strange. Until finally they said, they think they're drunk. I think these guys are drunk. So Peter decides, now it's time. I need to stand up and explain a little bit. So Peter gets up and he shares with them about Jesus. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. This was a prophecy that was in Joel. He was saying, this is what's happening. I want you to understand, they're not drunk. He said, I will pour out. This is what Jesus had said through the prophet Joel. He said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Again, we have the word all. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass. Catch this verse, people. And it shall come to pass. Whosoever. Am I part of the whosoever? We are all part of this whosoever. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he continues, he talks in verse 25 through 28. He quotes a psalm of David. And we're going to keep going down to verse 32. This Jesus, Peter's still talking to them, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. There's a phrase in here that just really struck me as I begin to study this. in verse 33, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. If you go back to Psalm 68:18, I don't have that up here, I'll just read it quick. He talks there about this, what Jesus had received from the Father for His children. Psalm 68:18, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He received gifts for men from the Father. One of those gifts was the Holy Spirit, to give to the children, His followers. And then there are other gifts that He talks about that we receive as we serve Him. Why would He want us to have that? Because He loves us. Because His love is so great. So where am I going with this morning? I want us to think about the fact that we have so much. This little dash that we have up here, we're not coming to that dash this morning empty-handed. We're not coming with no way to be positive and no way to fill that in with good. He has made everything available for us as human beings to be able to live that dash. And at the end of this year, should the Lord tarry and does He give us life, we can look back and we can say this year was an honor to God. I don't know what last year looks like. I goofed up this past year. I'm sure you did too. There are things I look back and it almost makes me cry when I think about the, can I just be honest, the stupidity in my life? Decisions that I made? And I wish I could go back and flip a switch and redo it, but we can't. 2021 is gone. We can't go back and change that, but I want to encourage you this morning. Don't look back and say, because of that, 2022 is going to be difficult. God has given you a fresh amount of mercy and grace for 2022. He said the slate is clean. If you've come back and you've repented, it's gone. Satan might come back and tell you, no, you wait a minute. Back there in March of so-and-so, you did this. If you've taken it to the cross, take him to the cross. And let him know that I have been forgiven. That is no longer there. I have a brand new clean slate. 2022 doesn't look that bad. Yeah, there's a lot of turmoil in our country and our world. But if we realize what God has given us, talking specifically about the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can face 2022 and know that God is going to go with us. He will guide every step that we take if we desire it. He came to give us life. He came to give us power. He came to give us power to live above sin. Galatians 6, go home and read it. Galatians 6 tells you that there is no reason we live under sin. There is a power there I give you if you want to live victorious. It comes back to a choice. We have to choose. He gives us the power to put others ahead of ourselves. And He gives us the power to be ambassadors for His kingdom. I want to leave you with a couple of verses. You want to go to that next screen, please. This morning as I was thinking, God, where do you want me to go with the closing here? These words came to my mind. So I went back and I looked at this scripture. The first two verses are New Living Testament. The last one is King James. And I want to read this morning. I want you to think about this in your own personal life. He says here, what can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offerings should we give Him? Should we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer Him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? He says, no. Look in verse 8. It says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good? What doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's my verse for this year. I don't normally have a verse or a word like some people do. But that's the verse that I'm going to carry with me this year. That verse is so full of hope. Because this is what He has showed us to do. And if He showed us what to do, He's going to give us the grace and the strength to do it. The choice is ours. What are the goals that I have? Do I have goals? Are my goals for earthly success? We're talking about success this morning. Are my goals for earthly success? They're only going to be temporary. You may add many, many dollars to your bank account this year. It's temporary. When you come and you lay in the casket right in the front here, there's not going to be a change box in there with money in it. You're going empty-handed when it comes to finances. It's temporary. Or am I looking at success as serving my Jesus this year? Success that lasts throughout all of eternity. That doesn't end right here at the casket. Actually, it begins to be real when that happens. My prayer this morning is that you're catching where the drift, the direction I'm thinking, that He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us His Spirit to direct us, to guide us. Let's take it. Let's give Him everything we have. And allow Him to use us, as Edna said this morning, as vessels for His kingdom. That, my friends, is success. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, we thank You this morning that You have not left us. Lord, You didn't come and bring us physical life to live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, and then die and that's it. But You came to give us Your Spirit. You've given us everlasting life. And Lord, we have a choice to make, because that choice is going to determine our eternity. An eternity with You forever, or an eternity that's lost forever. Father, help us to choose. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to realize this morning, Lord, that true success is not things in life, financial things, things that we buy, but true success, Lord, is growing close to You and being witnesses wherever we go. Lord, we just bless You this morning. You've been so good to us. You've given us another layer of fresh snow this morning, Lord, that reminds us that You will wash us whiter than snow. I bless each one that's here. I pray, Lord, as we leave, that we would choose to honor and glorify You with our walk today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.